Good morning and good mechodesh. This past week's daf was daf mem gimel in the fourth perek in Maseches Nedarim. Okay, we'll start from the Mishnah, which is on the bottom of mem beis on beis. Okay. Let's wait a couple of seconds till the oilum is settled. Beis on the beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of the Omer Hamuda Hanom Mechaveray. Someone was Muda Hanom from someone else. That means that someone else was Madir. Reuven was Madir Shimon Bahanom. That Reuven asked Hanom, Shimon can have an offer from him. Hamuda Hanom Mechaveray. So we're talking about the Muda. The Muda. Lo Yash Ilenu. So the mother, so the Ran Taich, is it over here? Lo yashilenu, the mother can't lend something to the madir. Which right away is a little questionable that, and Gemara really asked this question, why shouldn't the mother be able to lend to the madir? Right? I mean, the madir could have enough from the mother, l'chara lending, the one who receives the loan, or receives the object that was borrowed, he's nene, but the one who gives it is not being nene. Okay, that's a good question. Lo yashilenu v'lo yishamimenu. Zok the Mishnah that the mother can't lend and he can't borrow. Borrow. Shaila refers to.
There is some type of hano when you give something to somebody and you feel good that your thing is being used by them. But that's Mitzvah Slav Lehevos
Hanu. Could be
that Mitzvah Kavod and Hano Mamela or something like that.
It could be that Hano is not even considered a Hano.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel good about yourself, like it.
Okay, that's true, but that's could be that it's still not a Hano. But what you're saying also might be true, might play a role.
If somebody's mood or Hano from another person, can he compliment him on his clothes?
I would say l'chara not.
Ah, okay. that's our sugya then. I mean, that's your issue.
The mother can't compliment the mother.
Right. That's what I. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see. We'll see a little bit later. Maybe a little more basis to this. Akoponim's. Zok the Mishnah lo yashlan lo shamenu lo yalvenu v'lo yilvu menu. And the Ran explains that just the term she'ela is when you're giving something over which the item is returned ve'en as is. That's what the term of she'ela is. It's chayze ve'en. Ve'en means intact in the same as you're returning what was given. A halvo refers to something that is used up and you're really replacing it. Primarily, how the word halvo is used for a loan of money. The money is used and you're giving back something else. But by the same token, it would refer to, let's say, if you give something a food item or anything which is used up and you're replacing it with something else, that would be the term of halvo. Lo yalvena v'lo yilva mimenu.
Is there a havamina that she'ela will be aser but halva will be mutter?
Not that I know of. I didn't see such a thing.
So why is it necessary to say both?
Okay. That could be a question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a thought on that? Okay. Valid question. So here too is the same thing. Lo yalvenu, that the mother can't lend the madir. Same question over here. That it's the Mad is one who's benefiting from the loan. The mudr is giving. He's not benefiting. Lastly, the mission says.
Maybe we can answer the question about returning better coins, right? The Gemara gives the svara of that being worried that So that's the opposite. But it's shaykh about giving better. Well, let's put it this way: here's a chiluk. I don't know. I have to work out how it works. But the Gemara makes a difference. A havamina by halva the Gemara says that there is a hana by halva that you might give back better coins. That's not shaykh by she'ela.
That's true. Right? That is true. Where are you?
In Eliyahu's question.
I'm saying, which this Gemara that you're quoting?
What was that here?
Well, you're quoting the Mefarish, probably. No?
Rishon mentioned this.
Right, yeah. So you might think that halva would be aser because of the problem of giving the better coins, but she'ela is mutter.
Because you're allowed to give back better coins?
No, that's
no, it's the everything's
awesome. Just saying in general, isn't that rigorous?
No, he's just not more valuable coins, just better quality coins. But he's trying to say there's a difference between halva and she'ela. That's
what I'm talking about. Okay. I
don't believe it's a problem.
So let me see. What context would you be saying this? That
had it only mentioned halva, right? I would have thought that halva it would be aser.
Okay. That's why you need she'ela after halva.
Right.
Okay.
But it says she'ela first.
Okay. So yeah, lozu after and juv lozu.
Okay. So we'll have to see about that. As Michael mentioned, Vishainim used this in the Gemara's question. And therefore, we'll have to come back to visit this in a moment. Let's say in the Ran. Mm-hmm. Okay, zok the Mishnah. Lastly, Mishnah says la'im kolay v'likach mimenu, that he can't sell the mother can't sell to the mother, and he can't buy. Now, as far as buying and selling. And if we needed to explain this Mishnah based on our Yediyos that we picked up from the Sefer till this point, then this should not bother us at all, right? We had in the Sugya in the beginning of the Perek that there's such a halacha that you can't buy and sell. That's the Mishnah says that there is a hano. Both ways, the buyer could have anoa, and the seller could have anoa, and that's what the Mishnah over there says, that you have to adjust the pricing in order to defray the anoa. So this halacha over here, would be understandable, right? Okay, that's all as far as learning the Mishnah itself. Let's just see the
rest. That you can't buy is not the same case that you can't sell.
By a machirim mitzoy, that the halach is both. There are two other cases, right, which are a one way thing, like you're saying, charifi, right, koyalape, right.
But there's a middle one.
There's a middle case that has both halachas, right?
And you could say here they didn't give you the yetzah of adding or subtracting a pruta, because the Farishim say that they only allowed that where you were a mutar hana from all yidden, and you didn't have a good yetzah, so they didn't want you to go to a goy. But here you're just mutar hana from one person, so they won't matter you to add a pruta.
Uh huh. They say the Rishonim say that concerning this.
I think I saw it somewhere.
I mean, the Ran says over there. I think he was. I'm not sure if he was saying concerning this, but that could be a nice application.
Okay.
Let's see. Lamazen. So let's see the Ran. Zok the Ran. Lo yashilenu mudur lemadir. Okay. So the Ran just helps us translate over here. Right? Even though that, regardless, the issue in the Gemara, but Akaponim, the translation of the Mishnah is Mudur L'Madir. Right? Because we're talking to the Mudur. V'lo Yisha Mimenu, that's Mudur Mimadir. The mother is borrowing from the mother. That's why that first round says in Mor Mefarish Taimo, because that's something which needs explanation, right? Why can't the mother lend to the mother? Right? The one who the Issa Hano is on him. Why can't he lend to someone else? Well, Yisham Imenu. Okay, this is the second round. Just repeating this again. That's mother mi mother d'ha. That we understand. Now, another the Ran tells us, Sheila Shaykh Midi Dahada Bi'ine, Sheila, the term, the classification of a Sheila refers to something which is returned in its, as it originally was, in its original form, the thing itself, rather than a replacement, Kibheim of a Kalim, Halvo Shaykh Midi Dahoy Hoda Bi'ine Kahalvo As Mois. That would be an example. Halvois Mois. Okay, Lomazen, let's see the Gemara. Bishlomo. So the Gemara right now is about to ask a question. Let's read it with the Ran over here.
Learn the Ran's gear, so you mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
right? Right, that'll be a little bit easier for us. So I'm right now in the Ran, learning the first few lines in the Gemara. The Gemara is asking a question that part of the mission we understand, but part of the mission we don't understand. So the same as Bishlama, these halachas in the mission we understand, but other halachas in the mission we don't understand, right? Which is really the two parts of each bava in the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah talks about She'ela, Halva, and Mechira. Right? Those are the three bavas, the three cases in the Mishnah. And the Gemara asks as follows. This is where the Gemara asks the question that the Ran himself alluded to when he mentioned right away in the first din of the Mishnah, Ubi Gemara Mefarish Taimi. So let's see. Right, so right now we're on the top of Yom Yom Aleph. We're in the Ran. Bishlom lo yilva mimenu, lo yikach mimenu, lo yishal mimenu. Bishlom, the word Bishlom in the Gemara means that it's understandable. Right? This halacha in the Mishnah, that's good. We understand. Kloimer muder mimadir, and all these cases over here where the muder. Right, this is actually like the second, you know, the second halacha of each bava. Right, where the mother is receiving from the mother, he's getting, you know, he's getting the item that he's borrowing, the item, he's getting the loan, and he's making the mekach, he's the buyer. To come is hani minei. All these understand why it's also he's having hano. Mishum hochi also. That's why the mishnah says also. Elo lo yashi lenav lo yilven liyim koloi. My komis hani minei. In what way is he being nana? He's giving away, and right? He's giving some. He's allowing someone to borrow something from him. I don't know what the proper term, different, you know, to borrow someone. Right? You know, but yeah, right. I'm trying to differentiate between these two things. So okay, I don't know if we have a different word in the giving over, right? You know, in the receiving, someone could borrow. And someone could take a loan. Okay, fine, but we know what we mean. Akoponim, right? So the Gemara is asking the question that we understand when the mother is receiving, he's getting a no. But if he's on the giving end of these three things, why is it also lechor is not being nana? My comments hanimine. That's the Gemara's question. Now, zok the man as follows. Nearly. Right, so the Ran right now is going to speak about something, and then you know we have to figure out what's bothering him. Let's see. Nirali, the mashmalei the masnisen bizvina harifa. Zoltaran, right, and Nirali, right? This is where, you know, he's giving his thoughts on the Inyan. There's a question over here that he's coming to answer. Nirali, Mashmai the Masnisim is Vina Harifa. Zoltaran, yeah, that this Gemara, in order to understand the Gemara's Kashna, he's focusing on the third Bava, which is the Mecha Chomemka, right? It's the buying and sale of part of the Mishnah. And the Gemara is asking a question that the Gemara does not understand what's wrong with selling. Buying, understand, he's getting something, right? The Muder. Why can't he sell? Right? And the Ran is coming to explain what the question over here is. And the truth of the matter is, like we mentioned before, that, you know, we wouldn't have had any problem. The first two babas in the Mishnah are difficult to understand. But the third bava in the Mishnah, you know, we wouldn't have asked any question. But the Gemara is asking a question. Sounds like a similar question. The Gemara is grouping all three bavas. The Gemara is asking a similar question. That, you know, when he's receiving on the scene, he's got to know. But when he's on the giving end, then why is it also he's not being nana? And on that, the Ran seems to be bothered by this question, that shouldn't be a question as far as the sale is concerned, because, you know, someone who's selling, he's also considered getting hanoah from the fact that, you know, he's able to sell the item that he wants to sell and get payment for it. His ultimate nearly the mashmeh the masisim is being a harifa. Zokteran, it would seem that the Gemara, which is asking the question, is taking on, for whatever reason, we'll see in a moment, that the sale in the Mishnah is a Zvina Harifa. A Zvina Harifa refers to something which is a what we refer to as a hot item, something which is easily sold. There's a great demand for it. Right? Right? So if there's a great demand, so that's what the Gemara over there tells us, that the seller in that situation is not a nana. Right? And the fact that he could sell to anyone, he doesn't, you know, so the fact that this buyer, the one who he can't have an off from, but, you know, he could sell to anyone very easily, and therefore he's not nechshav a nana. That's mevuri in the Gemara before. Right? Now, if we take this on, then we understand the basis of Gemara's question. Therefore, asks the Gemara, so when he's selling it, why is he nana? Right, but Ran is making this point that in order to understand why the Gemara is bothered by a question and this question, the Gemara, the Balashas, over here, the Makshin in the Gemara, is taking on that the Mechir that we're discussing is a Zvina Harifa. And if that's so, now we hear why he's asking a question and this question. Yeah.
We don't have the full girsa of the Ran. He only brings up the Bishlema, but he doesn't bring up the Ela. L'chora, we have to understand, according to this, that the Ela also has all three babas, right? Or is he only learning from the Bishlema? You understand my question?
I want to back up to your Hanocha. Yeah. When the Ran says Ela lo yashilen lo yashilen ma'akam es hanmine, that's not part of the girsa?
Where is it? Bishlema. Where does he have the... Oh, the Ela is there. But that's in his Perush. So you're saying that's not part of his girsa. Oh, right, you think that's right. Part of his girsa.
That might be. I mean, how does it mean? By you, they bolded it out? You know,
It's not bolded. So I assumed that it was not part of the girsa. Right. You're saying that is part of his girsa.
See, by him he says it is bolded.
It's bolded.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I don't have it bolded. Okay, right. Fine. Okay, yeah. Shkoch. Thank you.
It looks like it's the girsa from the way they made it bold. If it's Zvina Harifa, is there a difference whether the person pays market value more than the market value or less than the market value? Or just the fact that it's a hot item and it's always a hanoah for the buyer and no hanoah for the seller?
Okay, Marcin, so I think there are differences in that. If he's paying maybe higher. I remember clearly right now. You remember over there in the Zvina Harifa, I think that if he's paying more than the whole idea of Zvina Harifa is that whatever you're buying for now, I can just as easily do with someone else.
Right.
So if he's inflated price, right? Right, that might be true. Mm-hmm. because you know, I'm getting from it, I can't get from someone else.
Is that over there a case where somebody made a neder, they can't get hana, but they can sell it for more than the market value?
Right, that's a mitzi, which is also, and it's mutter. I'm sorry, I'm not, what are you saying?
There was a case where somebody can't give hana, can't get hana, and if they can't give hana, they can only sell it more than the market value.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So the Ran only discusses whether it's Zvina Harifa or Alape, whatever, but there's also a variable whether it's being paid the market value, more than the market value, less than the market value, that he doesn't deal with.
Okay.
I just want to mention that I think that it will affect things.
Okay, that could be, that's true, that's part of the picture. But you see, what he's getting at over here is, you know, he's just referring to the general three categories that you have, right? Nechnami, whatever conditions that you need to maintain the halacha of that category, you know, that he expects us to work out, right? But there are three categories which have three different halachas.
What I'm having a hard time to get with. So if it's a Svina Harifa, fine. So he sells it to anybody, but he still gets hana that he sold it. He's still,
so the Mefarshim say like this, that over there the reason why it's mutter is because I'm not really having enough from you, right? If I could have sold it to someone else just as easily, so I'm not really having enough from you. You're not really playing a role in the picture over in this hanor.
I see.
So that could be a story. It's not, you know, there's always two factors: that am I getting hanor, and am I getting hanor from you?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, I see. So it's a little bit less from you because I could sell for anybody.
Right, uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. That could be an explanation to that, right? You have to avoid whether that works in all cases. But I could upon him. Uh-huh. Okay. So Nachmol, the Ran says that from the fact that Gemara is bothered by the halacha of Mechira, and the Gemara wants to know that what's wrong with the mother selling it to the madir? What hana is he getting? So Zaltaran, it would seem to me that the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about a certain type of mecher over here, which is a zvina harifa, where the mecher is not nene, and that's why the Gemara is asking the question. Now the Ran says like this. The Ran is a little difficult reading in the Ran. To follow through the connection over here, so let's see if we can read it together here. So the Ran first said, "Nel mishdemash made masizim vina harifa." Now umishumahochi mashma lehochi, and for the following reason is why the makshin assume that. You hear? So he's about to tell us. I'm going to tell you why the makshin assume that. However, he doesn't tell that to us in the next words. We're going to have to wait a few lines, right, for him to tell us that, right? So I think what we'll do now is just to get to him and come back. Let's jump over here. Let's jump over to like three lines or so, four lines. Mishum. See, there's a mishum in the Ran? Okay. Mishum hochi, mashum le, yeah. Mishum de sviru le, Dimshon the sphere, because the maction holds the chihechi, the bahani, the katonimi kami hochi, just like those which he taught us, right? The Tana, the first two bovas. The hainu loyashilena vlailvenu, those first two cases, loy mahani midi, he's not getting any hano, the giver, right? The mudr is not getting hano, hochinami beloyimka loy mishani midi. That it's also like that, right? So before we even ask any question, like just the reading of the Mishnah, what are the cases? The Makshin assume that the cases are all similar type of cases, that the giver is not receiving any hano. Just like the first two cases, Halvo and She'elo, the giver doesn't get hano. So the case of Mechir also, the giver doesn't have hano. So that's just the reading of the Mishnah. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Now, based on that, if you have a difficulty, okay, you'll have a question. So that's why the same difficulty that we had in the first two bavas, we had in the third bava. So Zokteran, so if we have the right to assume that the third bava is similar to the first two bavas, that the giver is not having hano, that's why the Gemara asked the question. Okay, so we just read the Ran over here just to get the flow, right? Sometimes it's helpful a little bit, like to put a little bracket, and you know, sometimes like you have, I guess, you know, when you're reading, sometimes you're reading things and in the middle of a sentence, you know, things go off on a tangent. Sometimes if there's like a description, you know, right. Yeah. And you know, and you could lose the train of thought, you know, getting caught in how the author is describing, you know, the subject over here, and you want to know what's the follow through over here. So you just put a little bracket around that, right? And you know, you'll get back to that just for the flow. So that's what sometimes it helps over here. We put a bracket over here before the Voloy Muki, and we put an ending bracket right before the Mishum, then we get the flow. Okay, now inside the bracket over here, the Ran is asking the question. And his question is like this. Right, in the flow of the Ran, what he's saying is that the Lechaira, the Makshin, could have learned the Mishnah very simply by, or he could have had other options here. One option is, like I mentioned before, there are three types of sales. So if you have something which is sitting on the moicher, difficult to sell, so when he sells it, then there's definitely a hano on that, right? There's only hano, right? He has hano, and the receiver does not have hano, right? Same idea, right? Because, you know, such a thing anyone could buy from anyone, from any moicher, because this item is not moving. Now, if we would have learnt like that, then we would not have answered the Gemara's question, but the question would have been the opposite question, right? Right. So the Makshin of the Gemara is assuming over here a very specific case, and that's why he asked the question that he asked. Now the Ran says
the Yasa case.
Yeah, we're going to get to it in a second. We're going to get to it in a second. I'm just reading the Ran. Okay? So the Ran, what the first step in the Ran with his Bavarnik is that why did he assume that this was the case and he was bothered, Azivin Harifa, and he was bothered by the question that when he sells it, why is he Nenu? Maybe the case was it's Rami Alape, and when he sells it, he's getting Hano. Maybe when he's buying it, he's not getting Hano. Right? Okay, fine. If you would have had a question, but the question would have been the other way. Right? That's what he means to say. Right? Right? Why Vloy Muki? He didn't establish that the case was such a Ramelape, and therefore you want to ask, but you should ask the question the other way. Inami, this is what you're saying. Bizvina Mitzvah, Tikh Shlev Midi B'mecha, right? And he could have learned that it's a Mitzvah, and he wouldn't have any questions at all. So, like, we see that the Tana, some reason, he has some reason why he decided, punct, that the case of Mecher was one of the three possibilities, and therefore he had a question, and this was his question. Where did that come from? Okay, so that's the Hemshech Leran. Zok Teran, right, that's
where the limit CS is the average price?
Right. Yeah? It's not the price so much, it has to do with the man, right.
What?
Yeah. That also plays a role, but right, it's basically referring to the demand. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the high demand and the low demand, this is the average demand. Mm-hmm. It's high enough for both of them then.
Right. Right. And that's what the Ran is saying. Right? Then there will be no question at all, because the Mishnah says that both ways are also. Right? So, you know, Asvina Mitzia would have worked very well.
I think this kind of deals with your question, Eliyahu. That really this case that he's saying Zvini Harifi is Lavdafka. He just wanted a case where one side is benefiting and not the other, and it could have been any of the cases back in the other Gemara.
I'm not sure. I think that there's some type of reason why he doesn't say what the reason is, but for some reason it had to be the Tana has a pull to say it's talking about Zvini Harifa.
Is there another case from you see, real Rebbe Yo was mentioning that even in Zvina Harifa there are conditions. That's where he was going. right?
Right. So when when you sell it for a higher price, then it's still the seller who's getting the benefit and not the buyer. But you could go Rame Alape, it would be the other way. It's when he sells it the regular price, only the seller is getting a benefit. But if he sells it at less, then the buyer is getting a benefit. And l'chora, the Ron could have made an okimta of Zvini Alape, but at a lower price. It was Lavdavka.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right. I think we would agree with that. Okay, so the Ron gives us a little bit the background. Right? This point happens to be an issue in the Rishonim. Not everyone necessarily agrees with what the Ran says in the Chesed Nagemora. But this is how the Ran explains it, right? Maybe Kohen has to do with the Girsois. But the Gemara is bothered by all three Bavas. The Gemara is asking the same question, that when the item is coming from the Mudr, right, to the Madir, asks the Gemara, what's the Hano? Right? And the Ran is explaining that even by Mechira, there's basis to ask that question, because the Makshin and the Gemara had the right to assume that we're talking about Zvina Harifa, and with that assumption, then that is the right question to ask.
I want to be more a little bit to my own weaknesses.
Yeah,
I was like a deer caught in the headlights in this Gemara.
Oh yeah,
because I read the Gemara and I see the Ran as a different girsa, and we usually learn the Ran, and so I was kind of like caught. Like if I'm learning the Gemara, I can't learn the Ran. If I'm learning the Ran, I can't learn the Gemara. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit caught. Would you say that how do you normally approach this? You start with, you would learn the Ran with the Girsa of the Ran, and then if you're going to go back and learn the Gemara, you're going to learn the Gemara with a different Mefarish that has the same Girsa? How do you approach this?
So what I would do is that since the primary Rishon over here is the Ran, so I would initially learn it with the Ran. That's just to be able to just get the base, the text, you know, just the outline of the Gemara. And then, you know, then we could look around to see if someone else has the gears. So it is there are two interesting points over here. That, you know, usually the Gemara Taka has the Girsa of the Ran, being that is the, so, you know, that whoever, you know, printed the Gemara, they decide which Girsa we're going to give you, you know, in the text. It's usually the Ran. Another point is the Ran doesn't really make a point that he's making right. The Hachigasim. that does throw you off a little bit, right? But to make things a little bit easier, we are going to understand it as if the Ran gave us a Hachigasim, and based on that, right, that's how we're gonna learn the Gemara here. Okay. So let's see. So basically, the Morris question over here. The Boris question over here is on all three bavas. I just want to mention something that once I think Shlomo mentioned something. I'm not sure if he was coming from a Gemara or really from the Rishonim over here. The idea of in a monetary loan, that there could be a benefit to the lender if he gets back better quality coins. Right? Better quality coins. Right? Now, if that would be true, the Rishonim really are sort of bavon, that would answer the question here. Right? That would answer the question. Okay.
I think it's rivers.
Okay, fine. You'll speak to those who are familiar with the rivers aspect of things.
The entire kolo.
Yeah. Akoponim, but in the context that we were talking before, that if this was the case, then the question would not be shver, right? So in as much as maybe some Rishonim do incorporate this in the Gemara, as if to say that maybe the case of Avo is not really so shver, right? We're not really asking on Avo because of this reason, but the Ran, you know, the Ran has no problem with the Kasha on Havo. Sakoponim, in the Ran, he doesn't seem to be working with this. with this at all. Doesn't seem to be working with this. So, see, what we were mentioning before was, in the Cheshbon of the Mishnah, that we were saying, wondering what the Chiddush was. So we were saying that the Chiddush is that we understand why Halva is also because of the better coins that one's receiving. That's why you can't lend. And the Mishnah is saying that even She'ela is also. Right? But that's all good only if you understand that the reasoning for that is taka because of the good coins. And therefore, you really shouldn't be asking a question on that. But the Ran, who has no problem with the Gemara's Kasha, apparently is not working with that. So if that's so, then that question is Chozer V'Nir, comes back again, because the reason why it's also by Halva is not because of the better coins that you're receiving.
But again, it doesn't have to be that you're receiving better coins. It could be a gzeira that you might receive better coins. In other words, it's aser even to return regular coins, right? But the chiddush is that we don't make that it isn't just because of the gzeira.
See, we have to know which way we're working over here, right? You know, the way you're working is assuming that's the reason why it's usur, right? In other words, right? In other words, you can't tell me the Mishnah is telling me that you're not gozer, because forget the Mishnah says that it's usur.
Right, 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 right,
right, right, right. Right, so working with what you're saying would only be good if that's taka the pshat in the Mishnah, right? And if the Gemara has no kasha on that, right? I think the Gemara has a problem that why is chayz halva osir, right? That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. Why is halva osir?
Meaning if you don't learn it's a kasha on that bubba, you're learning because that's the case of the Mishnah, as opposed to if they made a gezeira. If you're learning the problem was because of a gezeira, then you'd still ask the kasha, and then you'd have to answer the kasha. Would that be
One more time?
Meaning, I guess let me ask the question a different way. But it's if the problem of lending is a gezeira because maybe he'll give you back better coins. I mean, it's not Vada that he's going to give you back better coins. It's only a Shema. And they would have made a Gezeira on it. So then, Lechora, if you learned that it was like a low plug, you can't lend in any case, Shema, you'll get back better coins, then the Gemara could have asked the question, what's the problem with lending? And then it would have answered back, Gezeira, Shema, you'll get better coins. But if it's not going to ask the question at all, then it's not really because a Shema, it must be saying that's the case of the Mishnah, and that's why we don't even have a question. It's a case where he's giving back better coins, and that's why we don't have a question at all. You hear what I'm saying? Is the difference?
I mean, is that a case?
I mean, why? If they were going to say it's not even a kasha, because there's a gezeira where Shema will get back better coins, why wouldn't that be a kasha? I mean, that's the type of question the Gemara asks. Why can't he lend? Oh, it's a gezeira, Hashem, he'll get back better coins.
Did you see the Tosfos?
I did not. What's the Tosfos say?
Tosfos says that the case of Mecher, we could give a case where it's Zvina Mitziyasa and it's Hana for both sides. And the case of Halva, you can give an example where it's you get back better coins, so it's Hana for both sides. But the case of She'ela, where you get back the same object, there's no other way to explain it, and that's really the Gemara asks on all three, but it's really the real question is, how come lo yishaleinu? There's no way to answer that one.
Right, but still, in that, according, so let's understand, according to that understanding in Tosfos, by Mecher...
Right, Wednesday?
I hear what you're saying.
Did I say it right?
Okay.
I'm just trying to. That is what Tosfos says, that those two bovis, right? We could answer. Mm-hmm.
But the way he's answering is because we have an okimta for them that works.
Right.
You hear, that's what I,
that's what he said. He said those but, words.
So that's what I'm saying. Meaning, it's not that we're saying, answering it's a gezeirah shema. We're saying that's the case of the Mishnah,
correct.
And we have that akim to for it.
What you just said is correct.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be talking to each
other. Yeah. I mean, that's the way
I should be quiet, but that's the way I understand the Tosfos.
Okay, I'm just a little misupik in just the fine pointing of that. I mean, the Mishnah is saying that it's also, right? So it didn't happen yet. So what would that mean? That the case was that he paid him good coins, right? Right. So that you just work out what that means. I mean, it's apparently talking about before it happened. So it's one of two things: either it's type of some kind of gzeir, some kind of concern. Or maybe they made up like that. Right? Oh. And we need we're answering because of what's going to be, right? That's
if
what
they made up. That's even a bigger problem for witness.
Okay.
But
are you bothered by what's bothering me at all, or no? I mean, you're saying,
see, the truth like this, and I'll tell you the truth like this. And this is also a little bit negative. See, when the Rishonim say this, they're really explaining the Gemara, and this really also Taka has to do. Right? You find other places. This is a general point. When Mora says Bishlomo, right? Bishlomo. So there seems to be a difference of opinion in Mephoshim. What is the implication of a Bishlomo, right? Right. When Mora asks, well, you know, Bishlomo, this I understand, but that's fair, right? Now, the understanding in a Bishlomo, is that a good, lechatchilo way of understanding it, right? That, you know, I would have never asked the question there because, you know, that question doesn't start. And many mefarshim, Mishnayim over here also, that Bishlomo means that like this. Bishlomo means that I could give an answer for. The, you know, it's a question. But there is what to answer, b'doichak, you know, to take care of that. But this, we're stuck.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
Right? So it's in the Rishonim Taka Mashma over here, right? That's how the...
So it's like a doichak, is that what you're saying? It's not like...
This is the words of the Rosh is...
Where's the Rosh?
The sign.
I don't understand.
Ikol Shnuye, right? That's the first Rosh. Right.
Which one?
The first Rosh.
He talks about Chorish,
I guess we don't have the same tour as Adap. It's the first Rosh on the Gemara, which is, right? In Eloloy Leveno, Mimeno, Michael. Oh, that's where you have it printed.
Oh.
Okay. So the Rosh, when he's coming to explain, Loyulva Mimeno, Michael Mahanile. Right? That's his girso over there. You see where he says a few lines down, Ikal Afarish. In that Rosh, Ikal Afarish Bishloma lo yikach nicha de komahani le.
Don't have it. But, oh, I found it. And how come
Chorish
was before that?
Oh,
it's a little strange. Okay, it's at the bottom. It's further down.
Yeah. Where is it?
On
the base of the penis?
Right,
chapter?
He's probably...
No, it's on Gimel
the Harish.
The lines get wider.
The Harish that you're looking at.
I have it.
Okay, yeah, okay.
What's the word,
though? It's probably next Mishnah.
Yeah, they must have had the Mishnahs all together. Is that the way it is? It was one Mishnah.
Yeah, okay, but I was just getting at over here, and he says over here that b'chein kushon de lo yil ve'ikel ishnuyi b'doichak shema yifra zuze tavi v'sakili yoyse me'oysen shehuvaloi. So the way he speaks out like that, right?
Did you find it?
Right, it seems that, okay, you know, it will be a question, but there's what to answer with Doichak upon him.
Got it.
Right, so there's, different stuff. See, even in Mechira, you know, he doesn't.
Oh, wow.
That okay. sounds like he's
yeah,
saying
a
that.
Whole
different
layout.
The Gemara, so he's saying that they're definitely that the Iker question of the Gemara is the question on She'elah.
Even the Tosis says Shnuya Dechika. Tosis also says the word Dechika.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that Tosis says that even by Zvina Metzia.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's just that Dacus. Once, like, you know, you were highlighting that point, I wanted to tell you about that. It comes up in whenever the Gemara says Bishlomo, what's relevant many times is that after the Gemara answers the question, which is Shver, which many times, like in our Gemara, helps for the other Bavas also, so what is the right explanation of the other Bava? So if the Bishlomo was only a Doichak, so Shem, we'll get rid of that and we'll use the same Teres that the Gemara says now. But that wasn't a Doichak, so that can remain. Right, and see if you learn to the Rishonim, you see how it comes out
so
over
see,
here.
Even the final parents could make a difference based on
right,
the
right, right. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Is it based on Xavier? Right, and like we'll see in the round, Xavier has its limitations. After round, what?
Can we get to the Sugya of Hefker?
okay. Well, we're on our way. Okay, but very good. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have the oil is really very very.
I don't want to be mafka the Sugya of Hefker.
Very attentive over here. Right, we're getting all the fine points. Okay, very good. It's a good thing. Good thing. Okay, let's see. So that was the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara. Okay, so we'll learn with the Ran that the Gemara's kasha is on all three bubbles. We don't understand the case when the Mudr is giving to the Madir, what's the Hano? On that, everything Gemara is found. So, Omar Abiyo, you see, Rab Chanin. The first heresy of the Gemara can go in, Shinodre Hano Zemizem. Rabbi Yossi is saying, you're asking a good question. Good question, Nochanami. The premise of your question we're accepting. What we're just saying is that we're going to change. Say that the case over here is that actually it was a two-way mudr madr, right? So each person is a mudr and a madr, and therefore in truth, when the Mishnah says that you can't do it both ways, it's not because of each person by himself. We're answering each way really because of when he's receiving, right? So right. We're telling him he can't give to Yenna because it's also for Yenna to receive. So you can't give because he's not allowed to take from you.
You can't give, right? You can't give what he can't receive.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you're probably...
Is there a problem with
a lift
the giver?
I have to know what the gedarm of that.
The is on the giver.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. Good point to think about.
Bornstein said this terrace is very perfect. I think because all the other Mishnais, we Zatzayin, that it's only one direction with their inherit to make it a two-way street. Okay,
we'll see a little bit. The Ran talks about this. So let's see the Ran. Romans and the Ran. Omar B'Yisr B'Chinini K'goyin Shenodra HaNo Zemizeh. Right, you have that Ran? That's the second Ran over here. Now the Ran asks the question, V'chi Temo.
Yeah.
Right? If you will say, this is like a question form over here, Imkei Ma'ka Mashmulon. If so, If so, what's the chiddush? Now, I want to just point out something over here, right? In this ran, and again, this is a general derech halimud point that when we're learning rishon, right, gemara, whatever it is, so it has to be quite clear what the question is, and then follow through how the question was answered, right? So the Ran asks a question over here. Im kain, mai kamash malon. Now, usually, im kain refers to that on something that was just said, was accomplished, right? So Rabbi Yisrael, what he said was that it's a two-way nether, right? So when he's asking im kain, mai kamash malon, right?
It's partial that they can't get on out because they're both getting on out. It's possible that they both should be awesome.
So let me ask you. So what is the point of the question over here, right? What is the point of the question? Is the point of the question that it's really one halacha that the mother can never receive it, right? So is the question that, so why are you making a double? What are you gaining by the double? I mean, we get the idea. Right? So is the question Makamasha mean to say that now that you explain the Mishnah that their mudr zemizeh, so then the question is, well, why is Tana doing that? What was he adding? Makamash Malon, right? Is that the question that he's asking? It would seem like that at first glance, because we're asking him Cain, right? This is what he accomplished, right? Rabbi Yossi Brabchanina, this was his teres, that is a two-way. Im Cain, if that's so, so then I have a question. It means if you wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have had the question. But because you said that, you made it a dumb. So now you're asking that. So what is the Tana gaining? What's the chiddush that he's telling me by making into a double? Okay? Now let's start with that, and then we'll follow through to see how the question's answered.
There's another side, obviously.
You'd have to be bothered that, but it would still be pashat. Even if it didn't say it, right? In other words,
That's the other side. What is he asking over here, right? What is he asking? And then according to that side, the imkain is a little bit harder, because then your question really is not based on what he said, because if the Tana would have just said that the mudr is osur, we also would have asked the question. Right, so it's nothing to do with him per se, right? But Akavan, right, exactly. These are the two tzadim that I have over here. That what is the question? He's asking Makan, what's the chiddush? Is the question based on what basically said that it's a double? There's two nedarim over here, and he wants to know what is the Tana telling me by making it into a double nether? Or his question really is something more basic. Even if it would have been a one way nether. Like, what's the chiddush? Of course, you know the mudah is awesome, right? Okay, let's see. So on that, the Ran answers as follows: Zok the Ran, nire the awesome lon krebelezer domar viter oser b'mudah hano. Zok the Ran, step number one: that the Tan over here, what he's coming to do, he's coming to be soisim. That means he's making a decision in the machlokes tanoim. He's paskening like one of to Tanoim, in the dinner of Viter, right? If we remember, the Gemara spoke about this, and that's going to be the next question of the Ran, right? The halacha of Viter, it's machleik is Tanoim. Of Viter basically refers to something that someone's not makbid on, right? Something you never charge anyone to do. So if someone is if a mudr is receiving hano from such something which is a vita, people are mavata, people don't consider that as if they gave anything, they're not makbid on that. Is that considered a hano concerning in the dorim? So like this. So
are you referring to
loka? One second. So let's just, I want to speak that through. Okay? So on that, so what the Ran is telling us is that the level of hano that we're dealing with over here, and this is going to become relevant to what you were asking before, right? That the level of hano that we have over here is not more than the level of avitur. That means the hano that one receives by getting a loan, borrowing something.
All three cases?
Yeah. Right? are not greater than that of a vitor, and therefore, when the Tana tells me that these things are aser, this doesn't really work. According to the Rabbanan, who hold that vitor is mutter, it will be mutter. So the Tana, by telling me that that it's aser, right? These cases in the Mishnah, he's being soysim, he's passing like Rabbi Lezer that a vitor is also banal. Right? So that's what we could take out from over here. Definitely in this step, we'll see even further. But the Hano over here is not any greater than a vitor.
The vitor is the one who's giving it. He's mavater. Let's say, in the case of Mr. Regal, the owner of the field, he doesn't mind somebody walking through his field. So it's vitor, it's the one who's giving.
Right, you know, but that just decides what type of hano it is, right? That's a type of hano that someone would be
moved out. The recipient gets
right. So that's what I'm telling you. It's just a measuring stick on the level hano. Then you apply to whoever can't be getting hano, right?
Which of the two questions we were asking? I think what's bothering him is how is this a question? How is this an answer for the question?
That's what I want to get to.
That's what's bothering you.
Let me hear. What's your question?
I didn't think so far in advance. I just want to understand. I want to understand because you're discussing vitor, but it's not. I don't think this is vitor. I think that this is more hana than that.
I'm saying, yeah. That might be somebody else, right? That's what I'm pointing at. And as I see in the Ran, that the Ran is telling us that the hana level over here, right? That if you have the proper measuring stick, and you know how to make the proper assessment, the Ran is telling us that this is not more than a vitor. That's what I see in the Ran. Now,
though, is something whether the giver would be mavater on it.
But vitor is just giving us a evaluation of the hano itself. Now after that, we could talk about who could have, can have, right?
But this is let's just speak it through. Person walks through your field. You're mavater because it doesn't hurt you, so you don't care all that much. So the way we're learning, whether you agree or disagree, is that when a person lends money, because they're going to get the money back, they're mavater on that hana. They're not makpid on the fact that they gave the money temporarily because they're going to get the money back. And the same thing by the sheila. They're mavater on the hana that the guy's getting because they're going to get their pliers back. And the same thing by mepucha memkar. That they're mavater on any hana they're giving to the guy because they did a mekach. It was an equal mekach, metzia. And so they're mavater on that.
I hear what you're saying. It's shayach, though, that this guy is mavater because to him it's not a big deal, but the recipient is getting a more hana. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the issur is for the recipient to get hana. There's no issur on whether the giver is makpid or not, whether he wants to give it or not, whether he doesn't want to give it or not, it's nothing to do with him, the giver.
We see by vitor that that's not true. In other words, if I would pay $1 million to walk on your property, but your average person wouldn't charge $1 million, so we don't see that such a chiluk is made. If typically people didn't pay tolls for people walking across their property, even though, like, I gotta get there, and, I would pay you $1 million, I have to get there in 10 minutes or else I'm gonna miss the bus. We don't.
Right, very good, very good, thank you.
So it's totally on whether the guy was being mavater,
not him specifically. I'm saying it's the type of thing that people don't charge for,
Then we really have to quantify or qualify our Mishnah, right? In other words, let's take Shayla is a better example because there's no rivers issues and things like that. There are certain things that a person typically does lend out, and there's certain things that a person typically would rent out, and if he lends it, right? So we have to qualify our Mishnah it's talking about only things that a person wouldn't rent out.
Right.
That was your own Kiddush? That's a good point. You saw that somewhere?
Right. He's right. That's the concept of Vitor is just that. It's something
whether
that,
you would charge
that people don't charge. Right, exactly. Right.
But a lot of handout that you give somebody is not something you would charge for. Somebody has handout, they smell something they enjoy. No one's going to charge them money for smelling this.
And what? And what do you know about that?
And this goes back to what the Rav said at the beginning of the show.
That
even though a person might get enough, that might not be the enough.
Right, and I'm going to show you a step further. Right, that's the point that I'm getting at. What we might have considered Hano, you know, maybe in other areas, but concerning this, it's not Nechshav Hano. And let's see the second step.
Is a Mutar Hano is only something that somebody would charge for? It's all based on charging for.
That's what I'm saying. Right? And whether that's that's what it's dependent on. Right? You know, maybe you have to be mavar more. Don't maybe not rely on that. But that's the way I'm speaking it out. Our component. Right? There is some kind of hagdora over here. Right?
How could Vita be usher?
How could Vita be usher? According to. That's the machlekes. That hagufa, right? That's the machlekes. Whether something it's a hano, but people are mervater, and therefore people are not don't consider this as something choshul. And is that bechlal the issur? That's the machlekes, right? Reb Lezer and the Chachamim. Reb Lezer holds to also, right? Now let's just talk and get back to the question. So the question that we had asked was that what's the chiddush of this Mishnah? The answer to that is that we're coming to be machria that halacha is like Rebbe Lazar. Now, if the question was that what are we gaining by making it into a double Isser Hano, a two-way, right? And the answer is, in order to be Seisel and Reb Lezer, that wouldn't answer the question. Because even if we do a one-way, right, the Hano that we're dealing with is a Hano of a Vitor. So that really wouldn't answer the question. Right? Right? So this is what would bring us to think that therefore maybe not. Maybe that wasn't the question. The question really is that what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? And we would have asked this question in a Chanami, even if the Tano would have only weighed a one-way issa and would have just said that you can't, the mother can't receive. We would have asked that question. So the imkain that the Ran is asking according to this is taka not based on the new point that Rav Yisrael B'chanin was mechadish to answer, but the imkain is that if you're telling me, if you're agreeing with me, that there's nothing really new going on in this Mishnah, it's just a double iser, then asks the Gemara, then what's the Chiddush, right? We'll see, as opposed to the second terrors of the Gemara, that there's the Mechadish over here, a Gzera, that there's some kind of iser. So that's what the Imkain is. The Imkain is not really based on what he was Mechadish, but the Imkain is the fact that he's maintaining the Nochas of the Kasha, right? That's going to be the Imkain, which is really that, you know, I guess, you know, theoretically we could have asked this question, you know, even right away. But, you know, there was a more pressing question we were asked, and maybe that could have changed the tzura of the Mishnah. So, you know, we couldn't ask that right away. But according to what we're saying is that really this question has nothing to do with the accomplishment necessarily of the first teres of the Gemara. Right? Because even if the Tana would have just told us that he can't receive, and we therefore, and then there will be no questions in the mission. We'd also ask this question: that what's the chiddush? Okay. Now let's just see the second step in the Ran. Ask the Ran as that I just told you that the chiddush of the mission over here is we're being seisim like Rebbe Lazar. that the Vita is also affected on, but didn't we just do that in the first mission in the Perek? Vakav Kass saw some Lun Kavalasi Beresh Perikin, even though we already did that. So why is the Tanam, if you already passed like a blazer, it's not necessary to do it a second time. And that's up the Ran, Kamash Malon, the whole Haninami, Loigri Mivitr, Vasiri Rebelezer. Right? So the Ran adjusts that a little bit, and the Ran tells us like this, is that, listen to this, Iloyo, you hear? that if we wouldn't have said this Mishnah, I would have thought that these Hanos, they don't even rate on the level of a Vitr. And even Rebelezer is Moida, that it's Mutr. Right? So the Tana has to let us know that these types of Hanos over here, Akoponim, they do rate on the level of the Vita. Since we pass them like Rebbe Lezer, they're also. Right? Okay, so what I see over here is that the way the Ran is telling us that these Hanos, on the contrary, right? You know, that this is how the Ran understands that the Tana is letting us know that you might have thought that these Hanos are not even together Vita, such a thing. Right? Okay, maybe you need to explain it. Maybe, or maybe we wouldn't have thought like that. But that's what I see in this Ran. That, right, the way we're entering over here is that the Muskelution, right, means that the first glance of these Hanos, without a Mishnah, one might have thought that they don't even reach the level of Vitor, and therefore even according to Belez, like we pask in like, it's Mutter because it's not even together, doesn't even reach the Hanova Vitor.
The real case where Rabbi Lozor and the Chachamah argue is a case where the guy is selling grapes and he puts an extra two grapes in more than he has to.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he's not going to charge for that. He put it in by himself. That's not a discussion of charging because he chose to put in the extra grapes. He can't say pay me an extra dollar because I put in extra grapes. He put it in voluntarily.
But why did he do it? He did it because he wants you to come back. Maybe you would think, he really, if you don't come back, then he really, really never intended to give it to you in the first place.
No.
And you could...
No. Okay. I didn't ask him to put extra stuff in my thing.
Okay, so this is what we discussed then, that why is that even a vitter? Like, this is, you know, you're paying for advertisement.
So that's
what we spoke about then, that the Vitor, I think that that's what Michael wanted to offer then. That the Vitor is that even if it doesn't pan out, fine, you know, keep it, right? You know, that's what the concept of the Vitor is, right?
Why would this be less than?
No, what I'm trying to understand is Rabbi Weinstein said that Hanah is only also if it's a Hanah that the guy would charge for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave that aside for a second. I hear your problem with that, but why would these be less of a vitter than the case that you just cited? That's the real machlokas between them. That's what the Rana seems to be saying. That's even less of a vitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this case they're giving more hana.
But the Rana's saying not like that. So why? So explain the Rana.
I don't know.
So I'll suggest something. And I don't want to get into this because I know you want to get to Hefker. But maybe because there's a mitzvah to do these things. There's a mitzvah to lend money and you can't take ribbons.
There's no mitzvah to do Mekach and Memker.
Okay, hold on. Well, that might be a little bit different. But there's a mitzvah to lend your stuff to a yid, even, you know, whether money or not. And you can't really take anything in return for it. It's also to take anything in return for it. And so you're mavater on that because of the isser. So it's even less of a vitter than giving a few extra grapes.
Because isser kavod and hanah is mamela?
The hanah of the lender, you mean, is mamela. Is that what you mean to say?
Well, he's doing a mitzvah, and the mekabel is just getting hanah mamela. It's just he's focused on doing his mitzvah.
Okay.
We said this by Biker Cholim.
Okay.
We said he's Biker Cholim, right? So he's doing his mitzvah Biker Cholim, and he happens to give the Cholim a little bit of hanah mamela.
Okay, I hear. Fine. So you're saying the same way. Right. This that he temporarily borrows money and then has to give it back. That's mamela, and he's really doing the mitzvah. Okay, that's a different way of saying it. Different way of saying why the vitter is a smaller vitter.
I didn't see anywhere in and Rabbi Weinstein didn't mention anywhere in this discussion that it's based on the fact that it's a mitzvah. Besides Mecca for Mecca, I don't think it's a mitzvah. But I didn't hear the words that it's a mitzvah. You just brought it up, but till now I never heard anybody say those words. I listened to the tape. I read part of the article. I heard Rabbi Weinstein share. You're bringing in a new concept. That changes the whole discussion. But I don't see anybody say it that way.
I agree, Mechukum Memkar, you have to explain differently. Remember Weinstein, you want to weigh in on this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kate, I don't have anything more to add to this. Right? I just see what I see, right? That's also important, right? To see, what the Ran, how the Ran views this, right? And okay, we might have to work ahead to understand it, but once the Ran gives us his view on it, we're not going to argue. We just like to know, maybe how to explain it.
Okay. Right? So then maybe just a kud on this. Would you say then that because of the way the Ran words it, that these are low, you would have thought these are griri, and it's kamashmal on the low griri, that even after it falls off of this teretz, you would then go back, you still have this hanacha, you would think that they're griri, that they're less than a vitter, whereas if he hadn't said it that way, it might have been talui in the teretz, but now that he says it the way he says it, it's not talui in this teretz. It's a hanacha that these things are griri.
Yeah, right. It could be that agav, because the Moris teretz, of course, is a chiddush in gzeira, so that's the answer what the Tanis is telling me over here. But you probably definitely also see that these are nechshav ahano. Right.
I think they're more direct hanor than walking through the guy's fields.
More direct.
More direct hanor.
You're saying not like the Ran. You're arguing on the Ran.
I don't understand the Ran. Okay. I'm asking, how could the Ran say it's me? I don't understand how it can be go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If someone wants you $1 million,
it doesn't charge you interest. That's pretty cool. He lent me his pot, and I couldn't cook supper. I couldn't make my soup, and only because he lent me the pot, I was able to cook. So that's a pretty good hanah. So I handed back the pot to him, but I was able to make supper. That's hanah. Without that, I wouldn't have had soup tonight.
You walked through a shortcut. You got two extra grapes. That's a real hanah.
Not as much as getting supper.
All right.
Okay. Let's see.
I didn't ask for last 2 weeks. I did ask to borrow the pot.
Let's see the next teretz of the Gemara. Abaye Omar Gzeira Lishol Mishum Lahashul V'chemikulu Gzeira. The Gemara's teretz is that in Ochanami, you're right, the Me'ikar Hadin, the Mudr is not receiving Hano when he's giving, when he's lending something to someone else. It's also Mitam Gzeira. It's a Drabonon over here, Mitam Gzeira. Now, the Girsa Sagimoro, right, the way the Moris says is that Moris says the Ikar Gzeira is on She'elo. Right, which according to some Mishnayim, right, that was the Ikar question, really was on She'elo. And according to that, the Gemara is saying that once the Sifrim She'elo, there's a Gzeira, so who adin everything else, there's a Gzeira. According to the Ran, I don't know exactly why the Gemara, is making one more than the other, right? It's all an equal question. And so the reading of the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying.
Who do you say that
the question is about She'elah? That's what we saw in the Rosh and Taisvis.
Right. Okay, right. So you're saying, according to them, the real thing is She'elah, then So it's like gzera atu gzera then, right, when you extend it to other things.
No, I don't know if it's gzera atu gzera. I think what the Gemara means to say is that just that there's gzera there, so there's gzera over here. Right? Gzera applies in both places just as well. What's forcing us to mechadish the gzera was only the case which was taka shver. The other cases which weren't shver, so we don't have the base to mechadish the concept of gzera because we could explain those other cases otherwise. Right? Yeah. So the Gemara tells us over here that there's a gzeir over this. And Isser Rabbanon, that even though there's really nothing happening, right, as far as I know, when the Mudr is giving something, allowing the Madr borrow something, he's giving him a loan, he's selling something to him by a Zvina Harifa, right, that there really is no Hano that the Mudr is receiving. Nevertheless, it's also mitam gzeir. Let's see the Ran. Zok the Ran. Abayu omar gzeir lishoil mishom lahashol v'chein kulu gzeir v'mishom hochi yasvin nami limkuloi otter likach mimenu. The Ran says v'chein kulu and therefore the Ran says that this will also talk to the case of Mechira. That the truth of the matter is, there's really no problem in a mechira on a zvina harifa. However, there's a gzeira otu lika, because he might buy. If he buys, if he's on the buying end of this, then the taka is a hano and it'll be awesome. So we're afraid that if we allow such a transaction to happen, then we're afraid that the transaction might happen in the reverse way.
Next time.
What? Yeah. Right. You know, there is an issue between these two people, right? Today he's lending him. Tomorrow, he'll get it back. Exactly, right? So that's why Chazal asked that you can't give the mother can't give anything to the mother because of a concern, because of a gzeira.
So now, in this answer, does that mean these are more than vitter, according to the Ran, or these are vitter and vitter is usur, but they're not gri?
Let's see, why would you think, what's the cheshbon, let's say, that why this would be different? So it depends on how you understand before. Like, I thought that's what I meant before. See, was the Ran be mechadish this concept that you would have thought that they agree and it's a chiddush that they are? Is that a chiddush that he's saying, and therefore you don't have to say that according to this teretz? Or I thought that you were saying before is that shouldn't be so much a chiddush. It is what it is. That's according to this teretz, that doesn't have to be the chiddush of the Mishnah. We don't have to say that that's why the Tana is telling us. There's a greater reason why the Tana is telling us. The Tana is telling us that there's a gzeir over here.
No, but if this hana is even less than a vitter, and even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's mutter, don't have a reason even for a gzeir.
Right, that can't be. Right. That's for sure. Right.
Yeah.
right. Of course, right. Definitely what's happening is that this Mishnah is definitely telling me that it at least rates, right, on some level that it's also right. So it's at least on together vita. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So before he was assuming it's agree, and it's coming to tell me kamash milan it's not agree.
Mm-hmm.
Here, according to this answer, Yibaklal can't understand that it's agree. It has to be at least a vitter, because there's no reason for a gezerah. And then the chiddush is that it's a gezerah.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And Rabbi Eliyahu would be much happier with this.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I, you agree with that?
Okay, okay. You're upgrading it a step.
A little happier.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's see. Now the Ran has some questions. Some bekiyas questions over here with this gzeirah that Moros Mechadish. The afagav, the snan le'perek del nedorim even though, right? So we know that in the terms of Rishonim, afagav is a question word, right? Even though, nevertheless, right? So the even though nevertheless, what's happening over here is a question. A question is happening, right? So as far as we're concerned, right, this is like a im toimar here, right? Or a kosher, right? There's a question over here. What's the question? The Mishnah before said, she'eni nena mili Yisrael, the din is lekech b'yeser. That sugya, the Ran just reminds us of that sugya, that says that if a person asks himself...
But it says in my Ran Perek Aleph, Lamed
Aleph.
Lamed Aleph is in Perek Gimel. Okay.
Okay, Casey, you caught a mistake that others didn't. Right, is that verified? I didn't look back.
It's Lamed Aleph. The Perek Dalet starts Lamed Beis on Beis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, so you could send the Oiz Beholder, they're interested in Taka having, right? Right. All these sources really should are usually
it
checked.
It makes sense to say
Perek Dalet
is Perek Dalet. You wouldn't say L. You'd say L the Perek.
Akoponis, it says of the Sheni Nenli Yisrael Lekech B'Yisrael Moich V'Pachos. Right, that was the halacha of a Zvin Metzia. She Yisrael Nenin Li Lekech Pachos Moich V'Yeser. V'Amrinan Alo. Right, this is what we want to have. Amrinan Alo B'Sugyon Ob D'Leil. T'Chol Heicha D'Hav A Zvin Echarifa. Shori Moder Limkor L'Madim. Over there, right, and it's Mevuyer in that Sugyon. By Azvina Harifa, which that's what the Ran told us, that's what we're talking about. Our Mishnah is talking about Azvina Harifa, and that was the basis of the question. And therefore, what's happening in our Mishnah is that in Azvina Harifa, that even though really there is Hano only to the in Azvina Harifa is something that's a had item, so the Hano is only to the buyer, not to the seller. Nevertheless, it's also for both, the Mishnah says, because of Gzeira. Now, in that sugi over there, it's mivui not like that. By Asvina Harifa, it's mivui over there that something which is a hot item, so the seller could sell it. It's just the buyer which can't buy it. And there's no gzeira. So asks the Ran, Astira, on Gemara, this Gemara's text over here is telling me there's a gzeira. Once there's a gzeira, so even the type of mecher, that there's really only one way hano, nevertheless, it's also both ways because of gzeira. And that's sugya, we're not like that. There is no gzeira. That's the question that the Ran right now is asking. And that the Ran says like this, Kwakosef Ramban Zal, the Ramban already dealt with the Shaila, and he said that there's a difference. The Hosam kivin the Mikul Yisrael Nodar Loigas Vinanalo. The difference over here is, and our mission is that the Isra Hano is only from one person. One person was mad to someone else, right? So the Mudah can't be nether just from one person. Right? We'll come to maybe discuss about the middle cases. But upon him, our mission is talking about when at one person. Mashenkin over there, the case was that she'eni nene liyisrael from anyone. So in that case over there, that were we to apply the gzeira, so then it will be a gzeira which would be difficult for him to be mekayim that gzeira. Because the guys mean al alo umsrachin and lehanis laakum, so he can't be nether from any Yisrael, and so he have to be making his purchases or sales with goyim trichle milsa. It's going to be difficult, right? A different kind of commerce situation than we have today. Then. You know, the Yidden did business together with each other, And as a matter of fact, really, really, you know, in general, generally find a place that Chazal Taka try to keep the Yidden away from doing business, right, with Goyim. Akoponim, so over here, that if we would be Goyzer, then that would force him to have to be doing his business with Goyim, which is Shrichim, which is something which is difficult. And the Mashmois, the Ran is that it wouldn't have a Kiyim. It will be something that such a gzera, well, like we find in other places, the Chazal were not goyze gzeras that they feel won't be able to be followed through. Right? He could hold out, right? Because he finds that he'll from other people, right? He'll be able to make his
we're concerned to make the life easy for somebody who made a nether hana.
So this is what I was saying. If the lashon the Ran is, it sounds like that Chazal only make gzeirus that they feel that will be able to be kept. It has to be practical. Even though Chazal, you know, have reason to do it, but a gzeirus shein hatzibi ochol lamibo at this kind of musig is that, you know, we're not gaining anything because. It's not a good thing to make a gzera that people are not going to keep, right? So a gzera which is not going to be kept, then Chazal is not going to get involved in the first place. So therefore, sizing up the situation, if something is very difficult, and therefore they see that, you know, the gzera is going to lose its not going to be able to be kept, so then Chazal won't be goyz in the first place. So that's what Ramban says over here. That's the difference. So the gzera over here is only when it could be niskayim. If it can't be niskayim, then that's why Chazal didn't do it. Now, just to follow through the thought that we said before, is that is the problem is only if he's asking Kol Yisrael, right? Then he has to go to a goy. But l'chare, if the iser is not involved, if he has at his whatever degree, wherever you want to draw the line. It is, but if he has other options among the Israelim, so then the gzeira will apply there also, right? So you know, so therefore, even though the gzeira is, even though the Isra Hano would be on more than one Yisrael, the gzeira still would apply, right? Till whatever point, right? You know, someone could tell you, oh, we draw the line, right? You know, is it everyone or not? Akoponim.
Yeah, so all the Jews in one city, or all the Jews in one country.
Right. So, at what point does it become a trichele that lay goes? Right, that fine point you could still work on. Okay, so that's the first step over here, right? That this gezeira is betim, that there is a gezeira, however. But in situations where it'll be trichle, and therefore the gzeir won't be niskayim, then Chazal weren't goyzer in such a case, and that's why you find other places that the iser is only a one way iser, and there's no gzeir.
I want to ask a question on this.
Yeah,
we have three possibilities, and then it sounds like there's a little bit of we're not clear where to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that you know a chacham who has to paskin on this is going to decide where he thought Chazal drew the line, or Chazal specifically made it flexible of whatever a chacham decides is trichale, that would be the second option, or I'm not sure what the third option is. Maybe we b'chal don't know, and he has to just decide. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Is mm-hmm. How do they like? Is it tellurian in how they that they design the gezeira to be flexible, or we don't know, or they made it very specific, but we don't know what it is.
Or maybe you know you could decide what the you know what they had in mind, right?
Okay.
That's a good child. I don't know. Somebody, what do you hold about this? Any?
I feel more comfortable with the first one that mm-hmm. That we just don't know. But I don't have any. I was young at the time. I don't remember when they made the gzera.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Very good. Let's see.
When the Gemara says Bishleima, and then Abaye says the gzera, so really he's saying I agree with the Bishleima, right? Really, everything the Gemara said is right. That
It really should be mutter in the other direction, but it's a gzera.
Now, once you're opening that back, I just want to now just continue something that we mentioned then, that depending on, like we spoke, that according to some Rishonim, so the kasha let's talk about halvo, right? Yeah, the halvo, the Gemara says that kasha might not have been shver, right? That we could have given an answer. So this is where it's a little bit relevant that if that is still maskana, right? Mm. So then you're not going to have these differences. Let's say, for example, this first piece in the Ran, that if you ask it from everyone, there's no gzeir, right? Right. But if the issue is an issue of something which is more meikaradin, right, that also you have to think about whether that's gzeir, like we spoke about then. But to talk, if you give the better coins, right? Whatever that case is, right?
I mean, so now what if there's a case, if we were made Beokinta, where he gives back other coins, and we live in a time where there's no such thing. We live in America, all the money is being loaned and repaid in dollars. There is no such thing as better coins. So then we would say, Taka, you could lend in, Taka, there wouldn't be an issue at all. You can lend and borrow because you're not getting better coins.
Okay, that could be. Right, I guess that should have been directed like to before, right? Right, it could be relevant now, but that's really right. When you're talking about that issue of better coins in a society that there's no such thing as better coins, right? Then it's not relevant. Yeah.
Or you can say once they made zero implies even where there's no better coins.
Well, that was kind of I guess the question at this point. Meaning, if you're learning that, how did we want to say it? If you're learning the question was really only by She'ela, they only made the Gezerah by She'ela because we had no Kimta for the other one, then that's the way we were saying. That's the way the...
I think we said at the end that even though we weren't forced to say it, but we had the Gezerah by all three of them, there was no... There was, right, isn't that what we said? There was no svara to be machal like that. Once we make the gzera by Shela, we probably made the gzera by the other one. We wouldn't have been forced to have said they made a gzera were there only Shela. Isn't that how we said it?
Mara says the chain on the others.
Right.
So I was saying, meaning these other Rishonim who only said the question was only asked by Shela because they had no kimta for the others.
Right.
And so now what you're saying is that because it says v'chein on the others, even though taka mi'ikarit mi'kinim, what? Because we could have had no kimt on the others, so we didn't ask a question.
Right. But once we asked a question on she'ela, and we were forced to say by she'ela there was a gzera, then there was no reason to be mechalik that the gzera only exists by
Shem. So now we're not making the okimta on the others. Meaning before, we didn't ask the question because we had an okimta.
Right.
Now that we're already saying that there's a gzera on this one, so we're going to come and say that really there's a gzera on all of them, and that okimta that we would have had, because now we have a different answer. Because now right. We have an answer that there's a gezeira, so we don't need to make that okimta, and we'll just say there's a gezeira on all of them.
I hear that's what you're saying. That seems reasonable.
Is that the way you would hear
right.
it?
So the Gemara itself sounds like the Gemara is saying that today, that's going to be the reason to all of them, and it sounds like that we're falling off from what we were offering in the Bishlam. That's the Mashmoyis HaGemara. This one specifically addresses it, right? Right? Other Gemaras, we don't always go back, so then we have to make Cheshbonis, is that still standing, that's still standing. But this Gemara, Taka, would sound like that the Gemara is falling off of the Terutzim in the Bishlama, and this will be the universal tariffs for all of them. That is the Mashmah Yisrael Gemara.
So then it wouldn't make a difference, the fact that we all have the same coins today.
Right.
Because the Hana had nothing to do with that in the first place, and the Gezerah has nothing to do with that.
Very good. Very good. Good points. Let's see the next kasha that Rana asks is found. The Im Toimer. Va'afilo b'moda hano mechaver b'lvad t'nan l'kamon b'perek ha-shutfin ha-reini olecha cherem ha-mudur osur. Frek the Ran. Okay, Zol Zayin, let it be that we answer the previous question by making a difference between a neder which affects everyone, and therefore the gzera is not applicable over there because it's difficult to be mekayim. But so fine, that'll answer that source. But we have a different source to ask from. The mission later on is also is mashma that when you have a mother and a mother, so there is no gzera. There's no gzera. The isra only is that the mother can't have hana, and we're not concerned that the mother giving hana to the mother that he might in turn receive that hana. That's the Ran's question. Fekturan, that we still have a Gemara that we need to explain, because the Mishnah later on definitely is mashma that there is no gzeir. Okay, so the Ran is going to tell us something and he's going to make a chilek over here in order to explain that Mishnah. Yeshlom Dlav Koshihi. This that the Gemara tells us is exeira hanami lebahani b'luchud the taninan b'mas nisin. Zok the Ran like this, right? Our Mishnah is discussing, is highlighting three types of hanois, right? Borrowing an item, lending something, and making a mechira, right? Zok the Ran that when the Gemara says exeira. Gzeira, like Zokta Ran, I would have thought definitely that this is a general din that whenever you have a mother and a mother and the mother can't receive hana, so anything that he can't receive he can't give because we're afraid it'll come back. Right? That's what he would have thought till this point. Now the Ran tells us no, it's not like that. The truth of the matter is that anything which is a clear hana, right, we're not concerned. Right? He could give it, and we're not concerned it's going to come back, because it's very clear that's annoying. He knows he's a mother, so there's no concern. The gzeira that Chazal made, according to this terrace, was specifically in these type of things, as we mentioned before, that these hanos are one that person might have thought is not considered hano at all. That could be these type of things as a concern that, you know, if it goes one way, it'll come back the other way. That's the Ran is saying. Zok the Ran. Hanami b'hani l'chud. Specifically these, the Tanid Masdisen, d'loy mashmuhu l'inshi d'litzru b'moder hano. Zok the Ran. Okay, so the Ran is again using this idea that we're having a hard time with, but the Ran is telling that the hanois in our Mishnah, these things that, you know, people don't see them as hanois, v'ovid l'hu moder l'madir, osiname l'mishko l'hu mimadir. And therefore, that once these hanois are exchanging, then a person, you know, will come to exchange the hanoi the other way, being that the hanoi itself is not so blatant that it's a hanoi. So, you know, a person could, return the favor, whatever it is, the other way without realizing that he's dealing with an iser. So that's where the concern is. Just what the answer is. Like this. That Mishnah over there definitely is including everything, right? The Mishnah is saying, right, that, however, that since the Gzera doesn't apply by everything, so that's why the Mishnah over there couldn't say Shnehem Asurim, because it's not true. Because Shneim Asurim only applies to, there is a halach of Shneim Asurim by specific hanois, like we have over here in our Mishnah. But since the Gzera doesn't apply to everything, so therefore it wouldn't be appropriate for the Tanna to say Shneim Asurim. That's why that Mishnah doesn't say Shneim Asurim. our Mishnah, which is speaking about specific hanois, this being the hanois, they have the gzeira. And that's true. In the Chanami, concerning these hanois, you know, in that scenario, they're also, will be also both ways. But the Tana doesn't say Shem Asurim, because the Shem Asurim Taka doesn't talk to clear hanois gemuris. There's Taka no Isser. Right, so that's the answer. So we just found that over here now. This is very important, that this gzeira, the Ran tells us, with a hoichocha from a Mishnah later on, that this gzeira, which, well, we paskin like this teretz, is limited to these type of hanois that people do not really consider them hano, and therefore there's room for a mistake to be made, and you know, once the hano goes one way, it could come back the other way without a person realizing that there's an issue that's happening over here. But things which are hanois gemuris, then there's no reason to make gzeira, and there is no gzeira b'chai gavna, and therefore it will be mutter to send the hano the other way. Okay, that's this gemara. That's this gemara over here. Okay, I promise to bless that Rabbi Yehu that I will touch on Hefker. So we'll give just a couple of minutes over here. I started a little bit late, so maybe we could get a couple of minutes. Okay, so right now we're gonna jump. We're gonna jump just to get to there. Okay, so we're gonna look at the end of the Mishnah. Right, the end of the Mishnah says, "Hoyu mahalchem ederech." We have a madir and a mudr. Right, hoyu mahalchem ederech. So if these two people are walking together, no one else is around. Ve'en l'mayoychal, and the mudr does not have what to eat, and the madir would like to help him out. Then, well, I guess he changed his mind. Chayes, right? He wants to help him out. So the Mishnah says
It was the Muda that answered the Hana, right? I think it was the Muda that made the Shua. The Madir always was a...
There are all different reasons to answer Hana on somebody. all different ways that it happens.
Sometimes the Madir makes the Nether, sometimes the Muda makes the Nether.
I think they gave an example here. Where,
Maybe I'll go to Africa. Okay. See, so zok the Mishnah, im eini mohem acher. Okay, I jumped to the last case. There's no one else there. Maniach al hasela oy al hageder ve'oy meharein mufkorm lakol v'kol mishiachbitz. So what you could do like this, right? The problem is that the mudr can't receive something directly from the madir. So what the madir will do over here is that he'll be mafkerit, right? Take it out of his shoes, he'll be mafkerit. So now it's not his anymore. So now the mudr could come and could benefit from that. He's not being benefiting from the madir.
The farshim say it has to be. He has to put it more than dalat amos away from the mudr. Because if we put it down within the dalat amos, then dalat amos shorim konis lo, and it won't help. It would be like giving it directly.
Yeah.
You're getting the
Hefker,
just
okay.
Just
glad that I
pointed out.
Okay, that in itself, after you have to see the sugi of Dalai Lama's concerning that, but okay, we'll have to be mine separately on that. Okay, is the Mishnah tells us that he could be after it, v'halonoitel v'oichel. Person could do, okay, sounds right? So at the point that he's taking it, it doesn't belong to the mudr anymore, and therefore it'll be mutter. Rabbi Yossi says that no, that's awesome. Zok the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yossi, my time Rabbi Yossi. Right, so it needs explanation. Why does Rabbi Yossi hold that it's awesome? Why doesn't this work? Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi says, Kosava hefke kematono. Rabbi Yossi has a specific shita concerning how hefker works. What happens when a person makes something hefker? A general shita. The hefker is kematona. Hefker is similar to that of matona. In what way? Ma matona adas mishus noisin lishus makabel. Just like by matona, that till there's an exchange, the noisin could change his mind. Well, let's talk like that. That's what it says. Is af hefker ad osel shuzoyche. So too, by hefker, that even though a person was mafker it, but the noisin could change his mind, and someone else can't benefit, can't be zoyche in this anymore. What means to say is that the accomplishment of hefker doesn't take it out of the rishus of the mafkir. And that's a chiddush. I've added the pashas advarim of what hefker does is that it relinquishes ownership. Right, so it does not belong to the original owner anymore. That's what we would have understood. That's the Tanakama Shita. And that's what we would have thought happens in a hefker. There's a relinquishing of ownership, and it does not belong anymore to the other person. If the other person wants to get it, he's not worth it anywhere else. He could also be Zaychen, but he has to make a new kinyan, right? a new acquisition on it. Rabbi Yisrael is not like that. That when someone's mafka something, his ownership did not leave. His ownership is still there.
He's just giving reshus that other people can be konen, and at that time he'll give it to them as a matana when they're konen.
Okay. I see. You're already getting into the dakas over here. Let's see the round, and then we'll talk about this. Okay.
There's going to be a lot of nafkaminas if he holds this way by hefker everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, right. Let's see. Chametz. Let's see the Ram.
What about chametz?
Let's see the Ram. Very good.
Hefker ka'afra d'ara. But if it still belongs to you, it doesn't really help.
Wait, does it say hefker ka'afra d'ara or libatel ka'afra d'ara?
Okay, very good. Okay. Okay, so Michael's is...
You have a hefker
ka'afra d'ara.
Is it?
Okay. Look in the mafoshim. Look in the mafoshim over there, in the sugya over there. What exactly is the bitul? Let's see. We're saying the Ran now. Okay, zok the Ran. In the first round, the Gemara, it's right, all on bottom of the Omid. Ma matono ad osi meshus nois meshus mekabel. She im omah harin nois matono zulaploini. Person says that I'm giving a present to so-and-so. Yochol lach zeboi ad shegil yodeh shel mekabel. He could be a choizer, he could change his mind till it comes to the hand of the mekabel. And that means that in a matono, nothing happens till the actual transfer of ownership, which is done through the kinyan that is made. However, that person is making the kinyan, it becomes his. That's the transfer. Once the transfer is made, then you know it's too late. He can't change his mind. But till that point, it's just dvarim ba'alma. Nothing changed at all.
And he's not mechayiv himself to give it once he promises to give it. Becomes an Indian giver. There's no. You promise to give it, and then you can change your mind, and that's it.
So it depends in whether how it was said. See, there are choshe mishpat dika halachas of about. Backing out of something, and then you have Yerideya.
Mishapara.
Right, exactly. Right. So there's no Mishapara by Matana, right? But there is such a concept. There is maybe something that you find there's halacha of Sheir Sisol Yasu Avlo, right? Which is Leidavu Chozov, right? To back out of something of a commitment, even if it's not on the level of a Mishapora, right?
So but technically it belongs to the Noisin till the Mekabel makes a Kinyan, 100%.
Right.
It's fully his. It's
right. Now I just want to mention the other thing is that if he spoke out in a way which which will enter the parasha of Nedarim and Shavuos, that might be also a reason why he'll have to follow through. But we're discussing right now in the monetary ownership, right, of it, that
if you made a nether, right.
So that might be, you know, the other person doesn't have a claim. But
let's say it's a cow. I'm giving a cow to Shmerel. So I'm promising I'm giving a cow to Shmerel, but until Shmerel makes a kinyan, and it's still my cow. The cow goes out and nagach another. It's a shore, nagach another animal and kills the other animal. I be chayiv not the mekabel matan.
Yeah, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's fully mine.
Yeah.
Right, and this we say when you give somebody, you say, give this as a matana to somebody else, that you can't be chozer, it's because you made him shaliach to be makabel for the other guy.
Zachal adam shalom b'fanav, it's a zechia. It might be from the zechus, that getting a matana is a zechus, so the guy...
That's that you can give it to him, and he can't perhaps... That's that you can make it his without, but we're saying you can be chozer on it.
You can't be chozer once somebody else picked it up for the mekabel.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm. That case over there is it's considered osi liyad mekabel.
Right.
Very good. Right. We just need the mechanics. It doesn't have to be him personally, but if the transfer was made, whatever caused the transfer, then at that point it's over. Now, the Gemara's equating that just like, as far as the Matan is concerned, that one could be Chayzer, and the implication of the Chazor is that because it's still his, that nothing has transpired, nothing happened at this point, as far as the ownership is concerned, his ownership is still intact.
Before you do the last words of the previous one, Ad Sheyagia L'Yado Shemekabel, why doesn't he say Ad Shemekabel Ose Kinyimbo or something? You know, the words L'Yado, I don't know what Yado means. Wouldn't it be better if he would say like the Lashon that until the Mekabel is a Kinyin? Or that's what he means?
I thought that's what he meant, but I hear the... What's bothering you?
Magia to his yad. I don't know. It's
I don't
know what that means.
Well, it's Conan.
It doesn't say that.
Yeah, but that's what's implied.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
Now, at the Lashon HaGemara, maybe like a little bit better, the Rishus Mekabel. Rishus Mekabel, that's a little bit looser. That could be, come to Rishus Mekabel through a kinyan, not necessarily Liyode.
Right.
The Ran is translating Lishuse means Liyode. Mm-hmm. I've hefka ad the osi Lishus Zoyche Sheni Yeitze. Oh, so this is what he's saying. That Rabbi Yossi holds that by hefka Sheni Yeitze Mishus Bailim Ad She Yizke Bo Yachem. It doesn't leave the Rishus of the Bailim Ad She Yizke Bo Yachem until someone else is Zoyche in it. Till someone makes a zchia kinyan in it. V'iboy the medar, and if he wants to be chayzer, motzi hodar, he could be chayzer.
He doesn't have to make a new kinyan, it's already his, it was always his.
Mm-hmm. Hilkoch, ki zochi be mudr, mi madri komes hani. So what's relevant in our Gemara is that the whole idea that we thought Hefker was is that it's not in the ownership of the madir, so the mud is not being ended from the madir, it's not his item at this point anymore. But according to the Rechon is explaining Shita Shabi Yosi, that even after the hefker, it still belongs to the madir, so he's getting it from him, so he's being ended from the madir. That's what the Gemara says over here. Now, let's just discuss this a little bit. It is by a matana, we understand that nothing really
took it out. No, it's just a vision.
Just think of something.
I
Okay, maybe it's not going to happen. What we want to know here like this is that did anything happen as a result of his hefker, or for that matter, anything happen as far as by saying that you want to give someone something as a matonim. Now let's come from over here, right? Discuss it from this angle. That I mean, regardless, in order for it to become someone else, he has to make a kinyan, right? Right, on all accounts, right? You know, got to make a kinyan. So, if a person is not mafkir something, right, and someone walks over and makes a kinyan on my item, right? Right, so in that case over there, his kinyan is not going to help him become the owner of it, right? Because in order for a kinyan to work on an item which belongs to someone, that we need to have al kol panim the haskama of the bailim that to allow the kinyan to take place. Otherwise, it's a gzela. Now, when we say it's a gzela, I'm not even referring to the iser sheboi, right? But even if there wouldn't be any iser necessarily, you know, in stealing, but I would think that, you know, ownership means something, right? Even if, right? So ownership intrinsically means that I control things which aren't my thing, and therefore a person can't become an owner by taking it, right? You know,
it's whether not gezeila because he wasn't kinyan.
What?
It's not gezeila because he wasn't kinyan.
No.
What case?
It belongs to Rabbi Weinstein, and Shmerel tries to pick it up and be kinyan. Shmerel's not kinyan. It's not his.
How does every gezeila work?
Gezeila, you have to real do gezeila. You have to
Shinu Rishus, Shinu something. It's not the initial Gzela. Right? You're talking about something else. You're talking about an Gzela that there's certain instances that it could belong to the Gazlan.
Right, it's transferred.
And he doesn't have to give back. Right. I'm talking about the initial, the first step. That when every Gazlan, to become a Gzela and to have the Dina Gzela, you gotta have to make a Kenyan. But that Kenyan doesn't accomplish the same thing that a kinyan would make when you have a mekachamemkar, when there's a consent of the owner. That the kinyan that a ganav makes is that it brings it into his rishus only concerning chiyuvim. Now he becomes responsible for it, and if it's nenas, you know, then he has to pay for it, right? And you know, certain things like that.
He made a kinyan on it.
He needs to make a kinyan, and it's something called kinyan exela. And that's mefush mishnayis, right? We you know, maybe we had in the past that if a person goes into an house and he drags out, and we had in the past different places, different places that we came across, that if he drags the item and it's nenas before he leaves the rishus, so there was no maisa kinyan that was made, so the gzela didn't happen yet, and therefore the chiyuvim that a ganav has would not chal on him.
Right? It's so like if you the pick it up, also, like,
what?
Like we say, like,
okay, the idea of kaka and gzela, similar idea. Yeah,
land, you know, because you can't make a kinyan.
You can't steal land.
Right, because you're not making a kinyan. He might take possession of the land, but it's not changing with shus.
Okay, so we're pointing out is like this.
It's called kinyan geneva.
Kinyan geneva, right? Mm-hmm.
Just by picking it up, he's not kinyan that it's his, but he's kinyan for chiyuvim by the mice of his picking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, right. In other words, we might call that he has to do something in order to to activate the parsha of gzela. Just because a person takes control of someone else's item doesn't necessarily mean that it's a authentic gzela, right? And you know, and all the dinim of the parasha.
If you pick it up to return it, a lost item. You pick it up to return it. It's
that's for sure. But even if a person would,
it wasn't your das when would, you had that, it what? Wasn't based on your das when you picked it up.
In that scenario, yeah. If you
so the
if
same
you find
lost
something,
object, one guy can pick it up in das to return it, and he's doing a mitzvah. Another guy picked up in das to keep it, and he's doing a mirror.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
The same. They're both walking around holding it. And
So,
doesn't automatically happen when you pick up somebody else's thing. You're kind of a kinyan geneva that you took a gazelle or whatever.
Yeah, of course. The intention has to be that you're taking it for yourself. Right? Any kinyan is like that. That if you pick up something, if a person, right, the Gemara talks
somebody
about
falls on the floor, you pick it up.
Right. You see, you don't. Let's say you know, you don't know that it's hefker, right, or whatever, right. If you're not, you know, you're not.
You don't have to ask to be kinyan.
Yeah, right. And it's not right. You're not kinyan. Right. That's why that mention of Dalai Lama is not so posh over there.
But your chatzar is kinyan even without your das.
Okay, that's a. I'm trying to talk about that.
Someone flies into your backyard and it's fenced in, then you're kind of automatically. If it's hefker for sure.
Okay, I'm not getting involved in the subis of chotzer right now. good points. Okay, yeah. So what we're mentioning is like this: is that. If I own something and someone goes and makes a kinyan and wants to transfer ownership, it's not going to happen because my ownership prevents his ma'ase kinyan from having the ability to do anything. Right? We need my consent. Now, my consent really could work one of two ways, right? In some situations, we have something called adas makne, right? That my consent is really playing a role in the transfer.
I'm pushing it to you.
Right. Right. The Gemara talks about that the kinyan of a cotton, right? A cotton, being that his das is compromised, so he can't make kinyonim when the kinyon is dependent on him. But if it's a das makne, right, the Gemara talks about, then a cotton could be kinyon if you have the makne helping in the kinyon to create the transfer. Now, there's another possibility that if I own something, you know, theoretically, I don't really have to play a role. What I could do is that I could just be in agreement to allow that person's kinyan to work, and it'll work just like hefker, right? In hefker, right, before the basic comes around, right? In hefker, something is a mitziah, right? Something which is hefker, right? Right?
What's the second side?
The second side is that it could work just like that of something of an item which is hefker. If something is a lost object after yush. Right.
So you remove your ownership. Instead of helping the other person be kone, when you're selling it or giving it as a matana, you're saying I'm removing my ownership.
Well, when I say I'm removing my ownership, I'm not even doing that. What I'm doing is that I am removing the control that I have to prevent someone from making a kinyan on my thing. So once I hold back, then he could accomplish with what he's doing, possibly on his own. I don't even need to be machnated to him.
So you're saying that you made it hefker every time.
He's not saying. I don't want to say a different side. Just saying maybe there are different aspects of ownership, and he's only removing this one aspect that would block another person from being kona. But all other aspects of ownership he has, except that
Lagabe, this person, I'm no longer blocking this person from being kona my object.
So would I couldn't be able to be kona, I think, from Hefker? No. Right? Because now you don't have
so,
the...
So, right, if there's no das makne, right? Right. So Kotten won't be able to be kona, according to this understanding. Right? Exactly. Right? That's right. That's what we're going to point out. That
but it still belongs to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It still belongs to me. Right? And
if it were to do damage, you would be chayef.
Right. 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 It's still mine. It's still mine. But just that control that I have, which is a facet of my ownership, I could relax. Place, you know, that control. But it still belongs to me, right? So that control is not, you know, is not up there. And therefore, it allows room for someone to be kind.
I mean, nothing would be, you know, say, Shimon, I'm giving this object that belongs to me to you. And Reuven comes and says, oh, it's Hefker, I pick it up. He says, no, it wasn't Hefker for you. It was only Hefker for Shimon. I gave it to Shimon. Luchar, right? That would be
okay.
Well,
right, yeah.
Both of them would say that it wouldn't work for Reuven.
You mean the machna tzad and the removing your right, but not the hefker tzad.
If he was making hefker tzad,
you were trying to say it. I'm saying this lafuki you.
Right. So we're not.
If you say right. Hefker, then anybody can.
That's yes. Right.
Right. Okay. So we're discussing right a specific matana, and we just explained two possible ways in the mechanics how that could work, either with a positive involvement of the previous owner. He's a makne. That means
pushing
that he's
it over
playing
to the other guy,
right.
Like,
right. Mm-hmm. And then we possibly can understand that even without that as long as that he's removing the block that he has on his property to prevent other people from making a kinyan on it, so now that person, you know, providing that he's gold, he doesn't need that magnet to be kind of something, he could be kind of on his own. Okay, now when we're coming to discuss about Rabbi Yossi, right? So Rabbi Yossi is Hefker. Right, we want to know what Rabbi Yossi's Hefker is. It's Mevu in the Gemara, right, that concerning the Dorim, Gemara is definitely saying that it's still considered belong to him, and the Mudr is being Nena from the Madir. That means that he's taking it from the Madir, it's coming from the Madir to the Mudr, and that's why it's also, he's being Nena from him. Now, did anything happen over here with the Hefker? Or nothing happened with the Hefker? Right? Do we need the original owner to be makne it to him? Or possibly that Ayidei, the Hefker, what he does is that's really the accomplishment of the Hefker. The accomplishment of the Hefker is that it removes that control that he has, and now anyone could come and be zeichet, granted from him, but his bailus is not preventing someone else from taking it. His bailus is not causing that someone else's kinyan will be not more than a gezel.
But it's
right. Hefker l'kol. So even if it's Hefker l'kol, so that it'll apply to everyone. So fine. So you know. So that whatever you in today's terms how you describe that, but that ownership, you know, was which blocks anyone from being zayich in it was relaxed, right? And therefore anyone could come. It could be specific to one person, or it could be in general, right? That aspect of his bailus is relaxing, and that would allow anyone to come and to be zayich from this thing.
Well, I would think that it's not das makne by Hefker, even according to Rabbi Yossi, the way Rabbi Yochanan is explaining.
So, oh, well, yeah? So you're saying that not? I thought
the only tzad I can think of is possibly the second tzad that you said. I don't.
Oh, okay, fine. Because I got the impression from the way you spoke before that there was a das makan. Okay, so you didn't mean to say that, right?
But not by Hefker.
Not by Hefker. Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that the concept of Hefker is he's removing himself or he's removing a block or something. But I can hear the second side. I don't even think. I mean, by Matana, you can say that he's pushing the thing towards the Mekab Matana. He's helping the Mekab Matana.
See, you could have understood, right? In Rabbi Yossi, that maybe what he's doing is he's establishing a das makne to anyone who wants to come around to take it. Right, that's what it is. In other words, is it removing a black? Right, that's what it is. And now anyone can come and be zayicha because there's nothing that's preventing that other person from being zayicha in it. Or no, that there's really a positive in involvement over here. There's a das makne to everyone,
like a blank check.
Right,
I wrote a blank check. I signed it. Okay, now anybody who's going to write their name,
right? Something similar to that. Right, it means the nafkamina will be like we're saying to a cotton. Right, in Rabbi Yossi's, right, according to the Rabbana, right, that hefker when you it's yotzam issue, so there's no more das makne, and cotton can't be zayicha in it. According to Rabbi Yossi, do you have a das makne or you don't have a das makne in this? Right. But what's happening over here is, and there definitely is an accomplishment over here. We're just clearing exactly how that accomplishment is the accomplishment just by removing a block, or that accomplishment is that it's a positive hakno over here, right? Which, you know, it's not going to do anything by itself, but when you have the counter partner. Right to that hakanoa, when the kain and the makne come together, right, then it works like any time, right, when you have a kinyan. Okay, so but what's the negay over here to the din of nedarim yimashayir, that his ownership still remains on it. That means he's the owner of the thing, even if it would be to be that certain things happen maybe in this ownership. Either, you know, that he already created a makne. If he created a makne in that, so, you know, it could be that maybe his ownership really in a certain aspect is maybe more or to a greater way than the other tzad, because, you know, he didn't relinquish anything of it. He made a hakno. Right? Can't clear exactly. You know, had a way that, and according to the other side, that he relinquished his ownership. Right. So right now, you know, his ownership is a compromised ownership. However, that you know, concerning, I don't know if it would make any nafkamina as far as any responsibilities and any surim. As far as, you know, he's still considered the owner. The fact that this aspect of control at this point he's not controlling doesn't take away from his bias, and therefore,
if you say this sad of das machne in Rabbi Yossi, so then he's mamish giving it directly to the mudr, and that would be like.
But that's good. That would be all the better, right? Rabbi Yossi holds that's also
right.
It's also right. So definitely, you know, if there's a makna over here, so it's mamash a matana, right? So that for sure would be understandable why it's also. But I don't think it's necessary to say like that. Even if you understand that there's no das makna over here, but from the fact that it still is in his rishus, he didn't relinquish his ownership. Just a certain aspect. Of his bailus, of his ownership, he relaxed, and it's not preventing someone else from being zayichin. It's a grant, so someone else can be zayichin. If you want to know where it is or where that person's getting it from, still getting it from him, and that's why it would be aser in Idorim. And
could there be an afkamin if you say that I'm aser behama from you or from your nechasim?
Well,
right, another age.
When you're only. Okay.
Well, let's just mention here. How would you say that?
If I say I'm aser to get hana from you, So if I take possession of his nechasim, I'm not getting hana from the person. No, according to the second way of doing it, he's relinquishing his power. So if I'm saying I'm getting hana from you, so I'm not getting hana from you. I'm getting hana from your nechasim that I'm acquiring it, but you're not an active partner in it. If I'm saying I'm asher b'hana in your nechasim, then then you are getting hana in the nechasim.
Once you take possession of, they're not his nechasim anymore.
Right, but the hana is at that rega. Right, in other words, once you get it, what?
I think so. The Ran says not like that.
Not like what?
Because we have this issue. A person asers b'hana, can he give up a matana? He says, this is my cell phone's aser on you. Can he give them b'matana to the other guy? That was the Gemara. The Gemara,
right.
Mamish had that question.
Right. And what does Ran say?
The Ran there says that it's not the giving of the matana itself that is the problem. Because the giving of matana is only an issue when the person is mudur hana, when you can't get hana from the person. Then the giving of the matana is a problem. Because he's giving you hana by giving it. But when the object itself is the iser hana, then the giving isn't a problem, because you're allowed to get hana from that guy. You just can't get hana from his cell phone. And the fact that he's giving it to you isn't an issue, because you're getting hana from the person, not from the cell phone. The problem is that, did you ask the cell phone, did you the problem is, at what point does the iser on the cell phone come off?
Right.
But it's not the giving itself that's a problem. I mean, you have to go back and look at the Ran back there. It's Alam Adalit, something like that. It's at the end of a very long Ran, at the bottom of the page, the wide lines, and it's the last two lines of the Ran, and he handles this exact issue of giving an object.
I know that's in the third parak, so...
Okay. So I don't know if it's Alam Adalit, maybe Alam Bey, somewhere around there.
That's the fourth already.
The fourth parak.
Okay. I take back that.
But I don't hear the person. It's the person who's aser b'hana, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. You can't get hana from this person. It's not legabi their objects per se. I mean,
so
the fact that he's giving you his object, when you're getting hana from him. But here's the giving.
They hold there's something called hefker. It's like. There's a hefker ownership. Hefker owns it. You don't. And when the guy is mafker, he relinquishes his ownership totally. It doesn't belong to the original owner at all. And now it belongs to hefker. Whatever hefker is, is that shot?
No, it belongs to hefker. There might be
totally out of the original owner.
Well, everybody holds that such a concept exists.
No.
And let's say if you were aser b'hana to a ger. And he dies, right?
So everyone, the Mepharshim say specifically, I thought there was a footnote in English. The Mepharshim say specifically, even Rav Yossi's mode by a ger that dies, or by certain things that are really ownerless, they're such a concept of hefker.
Well, that's what they're saying.
No. But that's not this case. That's
right,
not
right.
Case.
So that's
right.
What I'm
what
saying.
Was your point?
The point is that when somebody's mafker something, Kud Rav Yossi, it still belongs to the person who's mafker. Kud Rav Hanan, it doesn't belong to them at all.
Right.
So it's totally out of his reshus. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kud Rav Hanan, it belongs to Hefker, right? I mean.
So that nusuch, that maybe we could do.
Who does it belong to?
According to who?
It's ownerless.
So that's just a question of semantics. Is how to say it belongs to Hefker, it's ownerless. Is two ways to say the same thing, I think, right?
I want to ask a question when we're clear.
Okay.
So on this sheet that you're saying, I'm going to ask two kinds of questions. One is maybe a nafkamina between your two shitas, and one is whether you're going to hold that maybe this is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava. Let me ask the first. That's the second question. First question would be this: Rabbi Yossi's arguing in this case where there are just two people there. Right? And this is where he seems to say that you can't do this situation. What would be in a normal situation, a person is, according to Rabbi Yossi, a person is mafker their chayfetz, and now a mudr hana from him wants to come and take it. Would he say, even in such a case, the mudr hana can't take it? There's a million people around, 100 people around, and he says, I'm mafker this chayfetz of mine, and it happens, one of the 100 people is a mudr hana from him, and now he says, oh good, I'm gonna take it. Would Rabbi Yossi argue also in such a case that he can't take that thing, or no? Then there's 100 people around, he doesn't argue with the Rabbanan. It's only when there's just these two guys. And I'm going in Rabbi Yochanan, let's say.
Maybe. So it would sound like from the Gemara that he's making an authentic hefker over here, which really would entitle anyone to get it. So there would be no difference if only he's here, if someone else is here.
Either way, it still belongs to the original owner, and either way, he's giving it directly to whoever ends up and the recipient.
Okay, that's the way everybody sees it. Okay.
And therefore it would be usur, I think. Pashas, who's Rabbi Yossi?
So then why does Rabbi Yossi say it in this case? He says, say in a case where you only got two people around, and he says that you can't put it on the seller, he says that's the case of usur. He should argue on a much more general case.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a valid point. Valid point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it would sound like that is really what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is that, you know, in this Mishnah, in the Sefer Nidorim, you know, Rabbi Yossi is revealing to us his shita of hefker, you know,
and
all over.
And it's lav dafka, this case. He could have made a much bigger finish. Okay,
he's using this application. Yeah.
Okay.
But would the Rabbanim be chalik on in that case also? In other words, if there are other people around, right? We don't have this extreme situation. If a person is mafk or something, that the mudr hana can't accept it.
The Rabbanim hold that mudr hana can't accept it.
What?
The Rabbanim hold that mudr hana can accept it.
In this case, where they're in this bidyevit situation, that
it's not because of the bidyevit situation, it's because the hefker works.
What?
It's not because it's a bidyevit situation.
So then,
it's not because you have Rachmanis on the guy because he's hungry.
Why don't the Rabbanim allow? Why don't the Rabbanim give this eitzah in the situation where there are other people around?
He's asking the other way.
Right? The whole reason why we allow this leniency is because there's no other eitzah. But if there was another eitzah, even the Rabbanim don't allow this situation.
They prefer you give it to the third guy.
They more than prefer it. They require it.
Right. But what do you see from that? Is that a difference in the essence of the hefker, or that's for a different reason? Right. Even though theoretically this really works in din, but this is something that there are dangers that are involved.
Unless we're already bringing in Rava Svara, earlier, I mean, you know, so we have to say that this looks too direct. You know what I mean? This is.
Mm-hmm.
It does look direct.
Right. That's what it would seem like. So that means that if there's someone else around, this that we have to do it through a third person is not because hefker wouldn't work. The hefker beker din would work. They're just concerns that in as far as the nedarim is concerned, it looks like he's being over an iser, or we're afraid that he come to be over an iser. Alright, that's what this is.
I thought you were saying not like that.
No, I think I'm
you were saying that when there's a third person around, the hefker doesn't work. The chalal doesn't work.
Well, he's not allowed to do it. Not that
okay,
I'm
okay,
aware.
Okay, so, okay, that's what I'm saying. I also thought he was going down that line. But okay, but that's that's a point, right? That's a point. Ram speaks out, right? That if there are other people, that it's also to do that, but not that it doesn't work theoretically. You know, hefker is hefker, hefker is yotzim issue. So, and
so you want to say just like they asked you to give it to him directly when there's a third guy around, they would ask that guy to take it from himself. You had not, you didn't have that guy in mind at all. You're just mafker your item. They would have also asked that guy to take.
Well, that's
it.
What I say. I don't have it before. I can't say that. In other words, I don't have a proof to that. That's what I would have leaned towards. Unless you find that, you know, you can't be mechalik that way. Such a chilik, you know, it doesn't say. You know, we don't really have that case directly, but.
Now. Now, once we mention that, let's just speak this out, right? Once we found out that the Rabbanan themselves agree that if there are other people around, then even though, as far as the Hefker, really, it's not, you're not being nenef from him once he's mafkid, and it's also because it looks like, or there's concerns that, that you'll have a direct hano. So, Shita Rabbi Yosi, right? So, why are we assuming that Rabbi Yosi is because of a hefker issue? Maybe Rabbi Yosi holds that concern applies all over, and therefore, even if when there is no one else around, Chazal also we're not mad to that. Right? That's I guess that's something. Worthy of speaking through. I don't know if it's a shibar kasha, but it's a point. It's a point.
Right. I mean, I guess you could answer that there wouldn't be such a svara to say that in when there's no other choice that they would answer it.
Right. L'chor, that's what it would seem like. That's what it would seem like. That's what it seemed like. And Rabbi has a teretz which does, you know, involve some kind of zera, but akoponim. But definitely, let's say, for sure, Rabbi Yechanan, I would think like you're saying, right? That any reason why we would answer it not meikar hadin wouldn't be applicable if there's no etza for him over here. So therefore, it has to be something which is meikar hadin. That's where Rabbi Yechanan goes. You know, and takes on that it has to be. There's a problem with that hefker, and it's still his. And you know, mikra din, it's also right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay. I think we'll hold over here for now. Yeah. Okay.